Martin Luther once said, "The Bible is the cradle where the Christ child is laid." The Bible is that which holds Jesus. That Jesus is laid here. That means we find Jesus in the Word. Amen? He's here. And today in this lesson from Acts 3, we have some things that I want to unpack for you. And the first thing is that there wasn't a Bible at this time, right? Matthew through Revelation wasn't written yet. In fact, Peter delivers what is essentially the second sermon of the church. The first one was on Pentecost. A few days later, Peter is going to the temple and he delivers the second sermon of the church. But it's not like Pentecost, right? Pentecost was a big Easter Sunday type of thing. This is like your average everyday day, right? And Peter comes and he preaches the good news of who Jesus is. But he does it not by going to one of the Gospels. The Gospels weren't written yet. He does it by unpacking the Old Testament. In fact, we heard that in the lesson that I shared that framed our time today. It was Jesus and his resurrection. And as he was there, he was teaching and he was revealing and he was having conversation after his resurrection. And finally, Jesus was able to spill the beans on everything that he had done. And in a number of places, the post-resurrection Jesus tells us that he unpacks how all the Old Testament pointed to him. How he was the fulfillment of everything that had been promised from long ago. That makes sense? Right? Even on Easter Sunday here, I kind of made some hints, and you've heard me at times talk about the fact that Jesus is the second Adam. He is the fulfillment. He does. He completes. He accomplishes everything the first Adam failed at. Right? He does it better. Right? That's who Jesus is. And so today, as Peter preaches, he does this same thing that we're going to do this morning. He shows us who Jesus is by looking at some of the stories of the Old Testament. That's how it's framed. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the things of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, right? You hear that refrain over and over and over again, right? A number of years ago, you may recall this, and the church pretty significantly claimed it as a victory, and I certainly claim it as a victory, right? But there was a lawsuit brought up against posting the Ten Commandments in various places. Do you remember this, right? And ultimately, the Supreme Court said, no, it's fine, stop it. And that's wonderful. But do you know the rationale behind why they did? Because this one's a little bit harsher. The rationale behind it was that they determined that the name, the title of God, was so generic that anybody could believe it. It could mean anything to anyone. Right, that God isn't specific enough, right? Shocking. That's what the Supreme Court said. That's why it continues to be allowed. So my point is, as a follower of Jesus, I would love to live our faith so boldly and so beautifully and so articulate that there is no question about who we're talking about when we use the name God. Amen? And one of the ways that has been done throughout history is to say not just God, but the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. So that there is no doubt, this is who we're talking about. This one. Peter, as he's proclaiming to the Jewish men in the temple about who Jesus was, he frames it. He lays Jesus in the cradle of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Jesus fulfills what they started. That's the point. And so this morning, I want to look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob just a little bit to help us understand maybe a little differently the power of who Jesus is. Abraham, the father of our faith. Right? Abraham, right? He was the one in Genesis 12 that God grabbed a hold of him and spoke to him and said, go to the land I'm going to show you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless the ones after you, and you're going to be blessed, and your whole point, your whole purpose is to be a blessing to others. And Abraham, and what will become the people of Israel, is born, right? And the story of Abraham is well documented, but I want to focus in. There are so many good things. God gives him a covenant, right? A covenant is a churchy word. It means a promise. It means a relationship. God makes a covenant with Abraham that says, I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. And we're in this together, right? And there are all kinds of ways that this happens. And Abraham is given the promised land, that there will be a place that I promise you where you will dwell. You are going to have a place to belong. Isn't that good news? Man, you will have a place where you fit. Oh, you ever struggle with that? Where do I fit in? Where do I belong? Who are my people? So often we feel like we're a fish out of water, don't we, in this life? The Lord's promise to you is that you belong with Him. Man, that's good news. You belong with Jesus. You fit with Jesus. He holds you, and He doesn't let you go. That's one of the promises of Abraham that we have fulfilled in Jesus. The story of Abraham is there's lots of twists and turns. It's a roller coaster ride. He is this great guy, and he is an utter fool. I can relate to that. The foolish part for sure. But I love in Genesis 14, there's this great story as they're kind of walking their way and trying to make their way to the land of Canaan. And it's not just Abraham, but it's all of Abraham's house, which doesn't just mean like Abraham and Sarah and their 2.5 kids, right? It means like all the people. So like 100 plus people, all of the kinfolk of Abraham went on this journey together. And his nephew's name was Lot. And they were in it together, and then Lot wanted to go doing his own thing. And while he was doing his own thing, it says in Genesis 14 that Lot was captured by a bunch of enemy kings, and he was imprisoned. And it unpacks what Abraham does. Abraham hears that his nephew has been enslaved, and Abraham goes on a rescue mission. Abraham goes with 318 of his kinfolk, of his house, and he goes to recapture, to free Lot. He goes to set Lot free. It's a rescue mission. Brothers and sisters, that's Jesus. He is our rescue. He is the one who frees you. As our own Pastor Green often says, when people ask, does God send people to hell? No. We're going there on our own. Jesus comes and rescues us. It's been a rescue mission from the start. Jesus comes to rescue you. That's the story. That's who Jesus is. We have been enslaved, and Jesus is the one who breaks you free. Amen? This is what he does. So we have this story unpacked and laid before us in Abraham, and it is magnified and it is glorified in Jesus, the one who rescues you and brings you to himself. You know how they celebrated this rescue party? with bread and wine as a victory feast? Come on, isn't that amazing? It says it towards the end of Genesis 14, that they celebrated the victory of Abraham with bread and wine. Amen. Amen. This is Abraham. This is how Jesus fulfills what Abraham started. But we believe not just in the God of Abraham, we also believe in the God of Isaac. Isaac, his biggest claim to fame is that he was Abraham's son. Right? He's always mentioned in that threefold refrain of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Isaac has some moments in Scripture, but the reality is his biggest moment was when he was a boy. And we talked about this back in February. Genesis 22 is the story of Abraham and Isaac going on to the mount at Mount Moriah. And there Abraham was ready, because he was commanded to sacrifice his son. We have in the story of Isaac the foreshadowing of Good Friday. We're not going to revisit everything that we did back in February. But there's something profound about the fact that the promised son is sacrificed. In Abraham, we know that God in Jesus is on a rescue mission. In Isaac, we know that God in Jesus is coming to be the sacrifice. That the angel spoke and stopped Abraham from bringing the knife down, and the angel was silent. My God, why have you forsaken me? When the hammer hit the nail that went into Jesus on the cross, he is the sacrifice. As they were walking, Isaac looked at his dad and said, "Dad, where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "The Lord will provide the lamb, my son." In Isaac, we learn that Jesus is the lamb that was provided. And God looks at him and says, "My son, this is Jesus. This is the power of who Jesus is. This is how we get a foretaste of it in the book of old, to reveal to us the new in Jesus and his fulfillment of all that he does and all that he is." Jesus rescues. Jesus sacrifices. And Jesus makes for himself a people. That's the story of Jacob. Jacob, the son of Isaac, one of two, the second-born son. Jacob's first-born son was Esau. They didn't get along. Anybody know what that's like? Jacob's story, again, is one of God's provision in the midst of just idiocy. Jacob wasn't a great guy in so many ways. He was a knucklehead. A twin born grasping the heel of his brother. They fought from day one. He was a trickster. He stole his brother's birthright. And then he ran away from his brother because he was fearful of his life. Have you ever made your siblings so mad you thought they were going to kill you? Right? And so Jacob, as he's a younger man, is running away from his brother. And he comes to a place. And I always think this is good advice. He takes a nap. Puts his head on a rock for his pillow, and there he dreams. Jacob's ladder, maybe you've heard of it. Jacob's ladder is this wonderful dream that he encounters with the Lord. And there in Genesis 28:15, the word says this. See if this resonates with what we hear about the promise of Jesus. I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I promised. That's Jesus, isn't it? I'm with you. I'm going ahead to prepare a place for you. And where you are, I'm going to come back and I'm going to bring you to where I am. This is Jesus. I'm with you. My spirit is coming upon you. You're not abandoned. But God is with you and he's for you and he's drawing you to himself. This is Jesus. In that dream, he dreams that there's this ladder, these steps that are going up into heaven, and on it there are angels ascending and descending. This is Jesus, isn't it? He descends. He comes down to us to heal us, to reveal himself to us, to rescue us, to be a sacrifice for us. And he ascends. He returns to the Lord to prepare for you a dwelling place. This is Jesus. Unlike the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, where humanity comes together and says, we are going to ascend ourselves to the Lord says, no, the whole point of God is to come and be with you. This is Jesus. Following the story of the dream of Jacob's ladder, he continues. Finally, he comes to his senses and he's returning. Although fearful, he is returning to his brother to try and make things right. And it says one night on the shores of the Jabbok River, he sent all of his people off to the other side of the river. And there that night, he wrestled with God. Have you ever wrestled with God? Knock out, drag out fights. Something in your circumstance, something in your story that doesn't feel right, that doesn't connect. You are hurting, you are wanting, you are waiting, you are struggling. Have you struggled with the Lord? This is Jacob. It says they fought all night long. When was your last sleepless night? As the morning was breaking, as the sun was rising, Jacob and the Lord begin to have this conversation, and there's some asking of names, and who are you, and bless me. Because there's power in being able to be named, and there's power in asking for a blessing. And in that moment, the Lord looks upon Jacob and says, your name is no longer Jacob. Your name is now Israel. For you have striven with God, and you have survived. Jacob means heel grabber. It means jokester. Israel means God preserves. Israel, the new name of Jacob, becomes the forebearer for the people of God that come together. Jacob is the seed for Israel. In Abraham, God shows us that he comes to rescue you. In Isaac, God shows you that he comes to be a sacrifice for you. And in Jacob, Jesus shows us that God comes to make us his people. You are his people. You are the sheep of his flock. We belong to Jesus and we belong together. This is what Jesus accomplishes on the cross. We are his. We are the church. But it gets better. Oh, it gets better. Another part of Jacob's story. I'll conclude with this. Another part of Jacob's story is he's looking for his bride. He's looking for his bride, and he finds Rachel. And the scene takes place at a well. Wells were vital back in the days of Jacob because it was the only place you could get safe water. Water is pretty valuable to life, isn't it? And so it's how they watered all the livestock. It's how they watered one another. It's how they cooked. It's how they bathed. Water, a well, was essential to life. And so Jacob comes upon the well, and he's talking with some people there as Rachel comes up. And this is what the Lord says in Genesis 29, verse 8. Behold, it's still high day. It's not time for the livestock to be gathered together to water. Go water the sheep. It's not time yet. Go pasture them. But the men that were there, as Rachel's coming up, says, we cannot until all the flocks have gathered together and the stone is rolled from the mouth of the well. Then we water the sheep. We got to wait for the stone to be rolled away. That's what Jacob's saying. That's what he's being told. The people of God, the sheep of God are ready and we are thirsty, but we have been waiting for the rock to be rolled away so that we can drink deep from the water of life. This is what Jacob shows us. You, the people of God, are ready to drink. It's high noon. It's hot out. Have you been outside? This life is no joke. There is hardship, there is challenge, we are enslaved. And the sacrifice of Jesus is what rolls the stone away so that you can drink deep of the goodness of God. This is who Jesus is. It's right here in the Old Testament. Jesus fulfills, Jesus accomplishes, Jesus completes everything that was promised of old. And he does it for you. The stone is rolled away. Come and get it, he says. I've rescued you. I've died for you. You are my people. Let's celebrate with bread and wine, with a drink from the fountain of life, with hope and with joy. This is what it means that we worship the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. His name is Jesus. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen.